Turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Thessalonians. We begin a new study today. 2 Thessalonians. The word, the road to recovery is the theme of the new study of this book of 2 Thessalonians. We're going to be in chapter 1, verse 1 this morning through verse 4. Title of the message this morning, Let the Recovery Begin. Before we get into the message, I want to share with you about the future plans. As many of you know, Leadership Council did meet this past week, and we discussed different options about going forward. And I want to share with you this morning briefly what we plan for it to look like. Now, this is not written in stone. If there's some big resurgence or something, we'll reevaluate. But as things stand right now, beginning June the 7th, first Sunday in June, we will go back to one service on Sunday morning. One service on Sunday morning, and then that will begin at 10:30. But before that, we're going to have two Sunday school classes, which will be at 9:30. Okay, both at 9:30. Brother Greg Long is going to teach his Sunday school class. Brother Anthony Harden is going to teach his Sunday school class. And the last agreement I heard was that Brother Greg Long will teach his class in here. Is that right, Brother Anthony? And Brother Anthony will teach his class in the fellowship hall. That'll give us two adult classes. And if you can come and, of course, be a part of those. We still will not be doing child care during that time, but you are welcome to bring your children into those Sunday school class environments. And we're doing it in these larger rooms so that we can spread out and observe social distancing, okay? But Sunday, June the 7th, we start moving back toward a little bit of normalcy. We'll have a Sunday night service again starting June the 7th at 6 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that, and we're trying to move in the right direction and at the same time observing guidelines as well as moving slowly. But I do think it's time to start moving back. All right? So anything, if everything continues as is, June the 7th, that's not next Sunday, but the 2 weeks from today, 9:30 Sunday school. No, yeah, 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 worship service, one worship service, okay? And then the Sunday night service. Let's all stand as we read from the Word of God. Let the recovery begin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of worship that we have been given. We thank you, Lord, for your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, I pray that you will bless in this service. Lord, you know what we need. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. Lord, I surrender to you, and I pray your word will flow through me to your people. Glorify your great name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Let the recovery begin. The church at Thessalonica, as we begin this study, this church began during the personal ministry of the Apostle Paul, of course, and he came to the city of Thessalonica, and he began to meet in the synagogue with the people there in that city. And for 3 weeks, it says in the book of Acts, that he reasoned with those people concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the result of that was a great multitude of the Greeks and it says leading women became believers. So a church was established there. But the Jews being envious, it says, again in the book of Acts, that the Jews were envious. And ultimately, it ended in Paul being run out of town to save his life. And now Paul has left those believers back at Thessalonica. And he wrote 1 Thessalonians back to them. Now he writes 2 Thessalonians back to those believers. And this book is written because Paul knows what these people are facing. These people are facing severe persecution. And these people are also facing the teaching of false or incorrect doctrine. And these are people at this point that need encouragement in the worst way. These, you ever been to that time when you just needed to hear something positive? These people were at that time. And as a matter of fact, I think we're at that point in our country today. Wouldn't some good news just be nice? Just some, you know, something positive and we're at that point where we're trying to begin a recovery from a very difficult couple of months. Businesses are opening, churches are opening, but there's a problem. And the problem in our culture is this one word. The word is fear. It seems that we can't move forward. We can't seem to move beyond this fear. And I understand. Please do not misinterpret this message. I understand about taking rational steps to protect oneself. I understand and I encourage, you know, those that are in a high-risk category. Take those precautions. Stay home. Don't be in the big groups. I understand and encourage that. There's a common sense side to this, right? However, we're at that point where there is an irrational fear running through our culture, a fear to do anything, a fear to leave your house, a fear to go to the store, a fear to go to church. It's a fear, a paralyzing fear, literally, to live. And the question is, how do we recover from that fear? So there are people today, listen, and you have to do, and you, those of you who are listening at home, you have to do as you see fit. But let me tell you something, you cannot let fear control your life, or you will be absolutely miserable until you overcome that fear. Brother Doug, how do we do that? Number one. We got two things we're going to talk about today. Number one, let us change the way we think. Paul said in addressing the Thessalonians, as I said, they're facing severe persecution, and it's a hard time in their church. And Paul, I love verse 2, he opens with, "Oh, poor guys, I know you're going through such a bad time." That's not what he said. Paul opens with to the church at Thessalonica, in God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul puts that avenue, or he turns their mind just for a moment away from what they're facing to two very real realities for the child of God, and that is the grace of God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. As Paul mentions the word grace, he's talking about the manifestation of God's presence through His kindness and treatment of His people. And the important thing about grace is that you've got to be able to see the grace. And it's so easy to go unnoticed. It's too easy for God's grace to be overlooked during troublesome time because all we see is the trouble. The trouble of Thessalonica there, they were facing, as I said, heavy persecution, and they were facing false doctrine. Now, the false doctrine that they were facing, they were being told that they had missed the rapture. Now, I don't know about you, but you take the rapture away from the child of God, you've taken a lot out of his repertoire of faith. Okay? One day you wake up, "Oh, no, Brother Doug, I'm sorry, you missed it." I'm going to go, "Huh? What? What do you mean? What do you mean I missed it? That's what these people were facing. And not only that, they thought they were living in the day of the Lord, which was the day of judgment. And their persecution was being compared to, but being taught as, hey, you're going through this as a punishment from God. It was one of those times in the church at Thessalonica where life is tough and then you die. This is as good as it gets, and this is not good. So you can imagine how these believers must have been like, oh man. Oh man. Not sure it's going to get any better. Their peace was gone. They couldn't see the grace. And Paul says, listen, we're going to start with the grace of God. And let's start with that today. Grace. I want to encourage you today. Let's take our mind off the bad news. I'll be honest with you. I've come to the point right now, I do not watch the news anymore. Because every story of every newscast is all COVID-19. Everything is related. We start with how many people contracted the disease today. We move from there to how many people are in the hospital, how many people are on a ventilator, how many people have died. And everything, you know, it starts with, hey, another five people or two people or even one person died. What a crummy newscast. And then they move on, well, this hospital is doing this, and these doctors are getting sick. And every story is related to the tragic circumstances of this virus. And if that's all you see, you're going to be left emptied of the grace of God on the inside and filled with fear. I'm not a media basher. I'm not anybody basher. But I'll tell you what. Somebody somewhere needs to come up with something good to report. You know? Somebody somewhere. We still live in the United States of America. We still are children of God. God is still God. God's Word is still God's Word. But if you listen to the news, all you're going to hear are this medicine shows promise, or this medicine doesn't work, and but there may be a vaccine, but it may not come till next year, and wear a mask and don't wear a mask, it doesn't do any good, and you know the arguments are just mind-boggling. And now that we begin opening up. Country's torn. One side says, oh, it's too soon. It's too soon. Don't open the churches. Don't open the businesses, because if you do, we're all going to die. While the other side says, you should have done it a long time ago. As long as you live on a COVID-19 diet, you will not see the grace of God that's surrounding you in your life. You're not going to do it. You see, I want to share with you this morning about our great God. Did you know our great God is still in the soul-saving business? Our great God will still save all those who call upon the name of the Lord. As a matter of fact, you don't know this, but a few weeks ago, we had a young lady in the church saved. Glory to God, He still answers those. That's the grace of God, and that salvation is still a gift. You still don't have to earn it. And you know what else? God's church is alive and well. We've went through a virus, but the gates of hell has not prevailed against God's church. We're still here. You know what's happening at Victory? I do want to tell you. Paul said he brags on the people of Victory. I want to tell you about the people at Victory. The people at Victory still are a blessed people. We still are saved. We still have a great church family. We still are eternally secure in our salvation because we've been sealed by the Spirit. We still have the Word of God. You see, our foundations have not changed. Our vision has changed. And we've got to get it back. Got to have a checkup on the eyes to see what we're looking at. Our spiritual eyes to see what we're actually seeing. Oh, listen. I'm still blessed. And it's not just those spiritual things. I still have my family. Did you know we haven't had a death of COVID-19 in this church since all this began? Isn't that a blessing of God? And I'm just pointing out the blessing. I know that that could change. I know that I could get the disease tomorrow. And it's all in the hands of Almighty God. But I want to point out to you how gracious and how good our God is. Because if you don't see it, you're going to get caught in the trap of negativity that has swept our nation. I still have grandkids. Ooh, glory. That's good news. How about you? No? I still have my beloved brethren in Christ. When you came through the door today and I had the opportunity to look you in the eye and say, "Hi, how are you doing?" That might not seem like such a big deal to some, but for me, it is a big deal to look at you and say, "Good morning." It's a blessing of God. As I said, I still have my health. I don't know what tomorrow holds. May lose that health tomorrow, but I still have it right here, right now, by the grace of God. And I also know that God is working all things to our good, according to Romans 8:28. You see, what I want you to see today is that our God is still our God, and He has not changed. He's still pouring out His grace and His kindness and His goodness upon us. We just have to stop and see it and forsake the fear that's coming over the airwaves. You got to understand where fear comes from. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." So if you're sitting curled up in front of your TV just afraid, "Oh my goodness, we're all going to die," the fear that you're feeling is not coming from God. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should not take precautions. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you cannot live in fear and have peace with God. Fear is a demonic tool. Matter of fact, it's one of the most useful tools in Satan's tool shed. He gets you afraid, you'll quit coming to church. He gets you afraid, you'll quit witnessing to others. He gets you afraid, you will not do anything. But I want to point out to you, and especially very appropriate this morning, we're celebrating Memorial Day, right? We're celebrating those heroes who have laid down their lives for this country and the freedoms that we know. You know what made those heroes lay down their lives? They were brave enough to get in the fight. I want to tell you some more heroes. The Bible is filled with them. Men and women brave enough to get in the fight. Men like David, when he faced Goliath, and Goliath stood there day after day saying, "Send me your best man, Israel. Send me your best man." And Israel would hide in their caves. Until David one day said, "Bring it on, dude." That's my translation. David stepped up as the hero of the day. He had courage. And it was not self-made courage. It was courage in his God. He said, "My God," David said, "My God delivered me from the hand of the lion and from the hand of the bear. And my God will deliver me from the hand of Goliath." And that young lad went out with a sling and five rocks and went out there and slew that giant that nobody else was willing to face. Why? Because he had the courage of his God. That's what we've got to have today, is the courage of our God. Willing to realize, hey, the fear that I'm feeling that's consuming my life is not from God. It is a paralyzing fear from the devil. It's time that we show a little courage. As I said, do not get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, when I say that, I'm not going to go out and jump in front of an 18-wheeler and say, well, this isn't going to happen to me. No. But I am saying, we got to be strong enough to live. We've got to have the courage to share what we believe and stand up for what we believe in. It's time for the recovery to begin. The only way that begins is when God's people has the courage to forsake their fear. Number two, let us change the way we talk. We've got to change the way we think. What we're concentrating on, what we're seeing, we've got to change the way that we talk. I love Paul's word here in verse 3. As he begins to speak of the church, he said, I'm bound, or we're bound to thank God always for you. Why? Because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds all toward the other. And so we boast. We boast of you to the other churches, Paul said. Paul said, man, I thank God for y'all every day. I boast about you because your faith is growing. Your love for one another is growing. And your patience, that word patience is endurance. Paul said, I know it's tough. And I know sometimes you feel battered. But I also know that you're not quitting. You're enduring during persecution and tribulation. See, Paul didn't focus upon the persecution or the circumstances of their persecution. He didn't complain about the harassment. He didn't pat them on the back and say, oh, it's okay not to be okay. I hate that line if you know what I'm talking about. It's okay not to be okay. These are unprecedented times. I don't like that one either. And I'll tell you why, because it's been used, worn out the last 2 months. Sooner or later, we've got to get into precedented times, you know. We've been dealing with this for the last 2 or 3 months. There's a message going out that says, oh, feel sorry for us. Oh, we've got it so bad. No, we don't. No, we don't. The message is not we're all going to die. Paul, the message at Thessalonica, they weren't curling up and quitting. And Paul was bragging about those saints. Let me ask you a question. What's been the subject of your conversation lately? Everywhere you go, everybody you see, what do you talk about? COVID-19. So not only are you thinking about it, you're talking about it everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. And I've wondered, when are we going to get back to talking normal again? When are we going to get back to, how are you today? Did you have a good day? What did you do today? And, you know, spending time just appreciating the conversation of one another. Brother Doug, why is that a big deal? Because if that's all you talk about, that's all you're going to think about. That's all you think about, that's all you're going to talk about. I challenge you. You ready for a challenge? Say amen if you're ready for a challenge. Go a day without saying anything about COVID-19. One day. One day. One day. Brother Anthony, it's going to be kind of hard for you. Your work is surrounding that disease, isn't it? One day. When somebody brings up, did you see the latest report, how it spiked? Yeah, I saw that. You know what happened at my church the other day? Man, we gathered together, had the best worship service. Change the subject. Try it for one day. You know what? If you start and you do one day, guess what's going to happen next? You'll do two. You'll do three. You'll do four. First thing you know, we'll be on the road to recovery. When we quit making it the continual subject of our conversation. Oh, listen, my friends.
I want to brag on victory. You know what's been so great about victory through this whole thing? Victory's still standing. God's people aren't giving up. Did you know? Did you know that the offerings at Victory have not suffered one little bit? Now, let me brag on Victory just a minute. You know what that's a sign of? That's a sign of God's people who are going to be faithful. It doesn't matter what. And listen, if I was in front of some other church, I'd be like Paul. Let me brag about my folks at Victory. Let me tell you about, because they're still giving and they're still contributing, even in difficult times. You see, we've got more to talk about than just what's going on in New York City. Let's talk about what's going on here. People are still being saved. The ministries of this church is still going. Did you know people are watching our worship services that are in different cities? We've never had that happen before. Did you know that the shut-ins that have been homebound for quite a while now are now watching this 9 o'clock service online because we're broadcasting online? Now they're a part of this service. They've not had that blessing of togetherness since they've had to stop, but they've got it now. Did you know? Let's just count the blessings. What about, some of you may throw something at me, but what about people have experienced more family time in the last 2 months than they have ever experienced in their life? And I know we've been joking about that, but let me tell you, it's kind of nice to enjoy your family. This is the first time since I can't remember when that parents aren't maxed out trying to get to work and trying to get their kids to baseball games and to gym practices and cheerleading practice. This is the first time that I can remember that this has happened where parents have just got to stay home and be parents to their kids. That's a blessing. It's awesome. And do you realize life has slowed down quite a bit? I mean, for everybody. Church staff included. What am I trying to say? I just want you to, let's talk about something different. Because once we start talking about something different, we'll be planting seeds in the lives of other people. And the first thing you know, COVID-19 will no longer be the centerpiece of every conversation. Talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about the blessings. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We know what's come over the airwaves through the media for the last 2-3 months. We know what people are filled with. And because of it, people are barricaded up in their house. My friends, it's time to begin the recovery. Let's change the way we think. Change what we talk about. You see, in the beginning, let's just back up. In the beginning, the appeal was made to flatten the curve. You remember that? We got to flatten the curve so that our hospitals are not overrun, because they were projecting the curve to do this number, If we flatten the curve, we'll be okay, and our hospitals can treat the sick. All we need to do is flatten that curve. Somewhere along the way, the message changed. We were no longer curve flattening. We went from curve flattening to try to keep people from getting sick. I want to tell you something. You're not going to keep people from getting sick. It's part of life. Thousands die each year from the flu. Thousands die each year from heart attacks and heart disease. Thousands die each year from cancer. See, death is a part of our society. And what I... And here's what I want you to get. Death is a part of life. You're not going to get out of here alive. You're not.
Well, Brother Doug, that's easy for you to say. You've lived your life. No, I hadn't.
Am I done yet? No, I'm not. I have no death wish. I want to love my grandbabies. I want to love my wife. I want to love you for many years to come. But I know. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Nobody's going to get out of here alive. What we've got to do is come to grips with getting out of here. So you've got to know where you're going when the time comes. You've got to have the assurance of knowing that when you close your eyes in death, you're going to open them in eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. And once you grab hold of that fact, it's not nearly as scary. And like I said, you know, you look at me and say, "Oh, Brother Doug, you know, yeah, you're just, if you received a death sentence today, it would scare you." I'll tell you what, okay? It would make me nervous. Let's be honest. If I knew I was going to die today, I'd be a little bit nervous. You know what I'd be nervous about? I'd be nervous about the how, not the event itself, because I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? Let's all come to grips with it here today. If we're going to recover, we're going to get back to a reasonable norm, we're going to have to come to grips with this fact. It's appointed that a man wants to die. Do you know where you're going? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." You see, you've got to have a hope that extends beyond this life. A hope that goes beyond doctors and nurses and hospitals and scientists. You've got to have a greater hope than that, because as has been plainly displayed, doctors, hospitals, nurses, governments, they have their limitations. They're not going to stop death. So you better know where you're going. See, Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Your sins have separated you from God. You know you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you've got to take care of that sin. How do you take care of that sin? You take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You'll not have peace. You'll not see the grace until you have the assurance of knowing where you're going. Heaven's my home. Not because of what I've done or because I deserve to. Heaven's my home because I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done on my behalf. Have you? You may be trying to get to heaven some other way. I'm giving to charities. I'm trying to be a good person. Do you realize that nowhere in this Bible does it say that your good deeds will get you to heaven? As a matter of fact, it says the opposite. There's none good, no, not one. You've got to know where you're going so that you can have the peace to live. Adrian Rogers, I believe it was, once made the statement, "You're not ready to live until you're ready to die." A lot of wisdom there. Let's live knowing where we're going when we die. And you'll be amazed at the peace that passes understanding that will flood your soul. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to You thanking You for Your Word. Thanking You, Lord, for the opportunity to share in Your Word and be reminded that those of Thessalonica, they were going through a hard time. But Paul was encouraging. He was encouraging them. Pointing out Your grace. Pointing out Your peace. He was encouraging them, talking about their good works and the things that they were doing right. Lord, we focus so much on the negative and the dangers. Today, we come to You to focus upon Your grace and Your peace. And to thank You for that grace and peace. And now, Lord, I pray that if there's one in this service who does not know You as their personal Savior, that they would call upon You for salvation today. Today, before it's too late. Lord, we know that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Let us make preparation, Heavenly Father, so that we may live, because we are ready to die. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.